Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's nice to be inside a nice, cool hall like this on a hot day. Remember when I was a small boy? I feel like I'm getting feedback. I'll stand back farther. I remember as a small boy in the Pomona Ecclesia, we didn't have air conditioning, and on a day like this, what they would do is open the windows. They had a couple of big fans that they put up in the front of the hall, and all the sisters would use, we had a hymn book supplement in those days, which was a small booklet of extra hymns, and all the sisters would be fanning themselves, and it was quite an interesting thing to watch when you're a small boy. But fortunately, we have air conditioning now, so we don't have to worry about that. I'd like to talk to you this morning on a subject that you heard many times in exhortations, maybe more than any other subject, and that is the subject of suffering. And before you get too worried about it, I am going to talk about it in a little different way. What I want to talk about is how do we carry out the commandments that we have dealing with suffering. So we know that we are supposed to take it patiently, we're supposed to learn from it, but how do we actually do that? And it's going to be based on our readings in Lamentations today, because that's what Jeremiah did. And it's kind of a strange chapter when you read it, because of the way it starts out. He seems to be really down. He's really concerned about what's happening. And then as we go through it, it gets better and better. And I'd like to look at it that way. We have a lot of things that we've been told to do. One of them, for instance, is to take no thought for the morrow, which means don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. And it's possible, just taking that at face value, we could think that means, well, just have a good time. That would be one way to do that. We would not be thinking about what's happening in the future. We would be living for today. Unfortunately, we know that that would be the wrong way to carry out Jesus' commands. He didn't mean for us to have a good time and not worry about the future. He meant for us to not worry in the fact that we're going to allow God to be in control. We're not going to try to be in control of everything that's happening. So how do we deal with suffering practically day to day? Because we all have suffering. One of the things we can be sure of is that we're going to suffer, we're going to have problems in our life, probably small problems at least, almost every day. So what is the best way to deal with that? Some of our suffering, it comes in lots of ways. We all know that we have problems that we deal with in lots of different ways. It might be physical. You know, it might be some kind of an illness that you're dealing with, just aging, getting older, trying to handle all the pains and things that come with that. It could be emotional. It could be something you're dealing with emotionally, something that you maybe dealt with for many years, trying to overcome. It could be spiritual. You could have spiritual issues. You know, you're having problems with your faith. You're having problems serve God the way that you want to. Something spiritual is causing you problems in your life. And, you know, some of us actually suffer a lot more than others. And here's the really interesting part about that, I think. It's not the person with the most difficult life that suffers the most. It's the person who is unable to handle their problems that suffers the most. So you could be looking at a brother or sister and say, oh, well, they have a very easy life. You know, I wish I was like them. They don't suffer. You know, I have to go through so much. And the reality could be that you actually have less suffering to deal with than they do, even though they have an easier life than you, because you're simply able to handle it more than they can. Or maybe the type of thing that really causes suffering for somebody else is very easy for you, or at least relatively easy, so it's not as nearly as big a problem for you. So when we can't look around and say that somebody else is not suffering, they don't suffer as much as you do, because you really don't know that. The readings in Lamentations today give us a real insight in how we should deal with our suffering. So I want to go there. I want to go to Lamentations. We're going to go through it. And I think this is a realistic way to look at suffering. I think it's very easy in lots of ways when we're living the truth to try to think it should be almost, we should be able to do things in an unhuman way almost. That, for instance, we should get to the point sometime in our life where we could just have something terrible happen to us, and we could just say, well, I know God's in control, so it's not that big a deal. I'm okay with it. It's not tough for me. But I don't really think that's very realistic, because we are human beings, and dealing with problems is a very hard thing. And you'll see when we look here in Lamentations that it was very hard for Jeremiah. And what he does, though, is he works through the problems that he has with a process. And I think this process is really what we need to do in our lives. So when we have a problem, when something comes up that's very difficult for us, we can't expect to just, you know, it's not going to be anything to us. It's very easy for us. I don't think that's ever going to happen in our mortal life. I think we're always going to have to deal with it. It's going to, at first, it's going to hit us. It's going to bring us down. It's going to knock us off of our track where we're trying to go. And we're going to have to find a way to deal with it. So let's take a look here at Lamentations chapter 3. And think about this, that how difficult it must have been for Jeremiah when he wrote Lamentations, how hard things were for him at this time. Now, you might be thinking right now, well, this doesn't really seem to fit with what we read, for instance, of Paul saying, you know, to rejoice in our sufferings. But it does. And the reason it does is because we have to get to that point. That's really what we're looking for, is to take the suffering, the things that come to us and are so difficult for us, and move from that point to a point where we are actually able to say, that was a good thing for me. It was good that that happened to me. And I think that's what Paul did, really. I think Paul did not, you know, he wasn't able to just say, oh, this is wonderful that this happened to me. I was just stoned and almost died. That was a fantastic thing. I think that it would take him a while to think about that, that he'd have to say, you know, that was really terrible, and God allowed that to happen to me for some reason, and I'm going to try to figure out what that was, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to try to look forward into the future. And I think that is what Lamentations 3 is all about. Okay, so let's take a look here at Lamentations 3. Beginning at verse, I want to go back to starting actually at the end of the chapter, verse 48 through 54. Let's take a look at that. This will just give you an idea of how tough this was for Jeremiah to deal with. And what had just happened is that the nation had been overrun by the Babylonians. People had been taken out of the country. You know, all the things that he had prophesied. So he knew all this was going to happen. And again, it wasn't easy for him to deal with, even though he expected it. But if we go to the end of Lamentations, verse 48, he says, "My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head, and then I said, I'm cut off." And so Jeremiah had personal problems. He had people wanting to kill him, wanting to put him into prison. And then he had the problems of the nation that he lived in. So it would be like if we were having personal problems, somebody was doing something terrible to us, and also the ecclesia was falling apart all at the same time. That's where Jeremiah was, and that's why he said he was weeping. He was crying because it was so difficult for him. He wasn't smiling and saying, "Wow, I'm really glad God brought all this on me so that I could improve my character." Not at this point, because he was dealing with something very difficult and very hard for him. And it's that way for us, I think. When something terrible happens, it's very difficult for you. I had something, some of you will be able to maybe relate to this. At work, we've been going through some interesting things at work that are not real good for the company. And so I've been following what's going on in the news, and I had read about some layoffs at work. So about around 11 o'clock on Thursday, we were supposed to interview somebody for a new position at work. And my boss had asked me to sit in on the interview. And about 15 minutes before that, my boss got a phone call to come to the VP's office. So she left and went down there. And I'm waiting for her to come back because at 11 we have an interview. Well, at about 10 after 11, I got a phone call to also come to the VP's office. So I started walking down the hall saying, well, I guess I'm packing up my desk. This is kind of a strange, you know, you don't usually get a phone call from somebody like that to come to talk to them. Well, it turned out that wasn't what it was at all, but, you know, at the time I was thinking, boy, this is not a good thing. Now, you know, it may be later on I will get a call like that. I don't know. And when it happens, I'm not going to be, boy, I'm so happy that I lost my job, because it'll be a shock, because I've been through that before, and I know it's not, you don't just say, wow, this is great. It just doesn't work that way, and it didn't work that way for Jeremiah either, because when these things happened to him, he was shook up by it. So the first thing he did was to realize that he was suffering. I think he accepted it. He said, this is a bad thing that's happened to me. And, you know, we actually read here that he was crying. His eyes were trickling down with tears, and they were running down with rivers of water for his people. So he was very sad. Not a good thing. He wasn't happy that this thing had happened to him. So I think that's the first step. But then he stepped back and he said, you know, God allowed this to happen. And if we go to the beginning of Lamentations 3, it's kind of hard to read these verses, I think, because Jeremiah is saying, God, you've allowed all these bad things to happen to me. He even makes it sound as if God did it to him. And it's a little strange way to look at things. He says in verse 1, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath, or by God's wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And so he acknowledges God could have stopped this from happening, but he allowed it for some reason. You know, he's made life difficult for me. I don't know why, but I know he's made it difficult for me. This is a very hard time for me. And so he accepted that. And I think that's the first step, is that we accept, you know, this is a bad thing that's happened to me, and God allowed it to happen to me. There's some reason why he did that. Next, he acknowledges something that we may feel sometimes in verse 8. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but maybe something bad has happened to you and you turn to God and it's almost like you feel like God doesn't hear you. And that's how Jeremiah felt. He felt like God was not listening to him. And it's possible we'll feel that way. And if we do feel that way, I think we need to admit it to ourselves that we're at that level of despair. You know, that we really feel that we're separated from God. I think that's very important. Now, what he didn't do is he didn't just say, well, I feel separated from God, so I'm going to go off and do whatever I want. God obviously doesn't care about me. I'm going to live my life without God from now on. He didn't do that. In fact, if we go on here, we'll find that what he did was he thought about God's mercy instead. Verse 18 through 24. And I'm skipping a section because it's just more of the same of how he's feeling really bad and what God has done. But 18 says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. But then he goes on in verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. So he's going to think about something that's going to change that attitude that he has. He said in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So he feels separated from God, but he says, you know what? I know God is merciful, and I know God will hear me, so I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to just stay there where I am. I know God will hear me, so I'm going to keep on. I'm going to continue to speak to God, because I know he will hear me, and I know that he's going to help me. Now, I think that this was the turning point, and if you continue to read this, you'll see that this was a turning point for Jeremiah, and I think this is where Paul would have gone as well. He would have said, you know, why was I allowed to be stoned when I'm trying to preach? And then he would think about, well, you know, God is very merciful. There's a reason why this happened. There's something good that's going to come out of this. And this is where Jeremiah went next. Verses 25 through 30. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So it's good that you have troubles, especially when you're young and you can deal with them better. You don't have all the physical problems as you get older. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. And of course, there we have some echoes of Jesus in the future, where Jeremiah actually relates to Jesus. So now he's like at a new level. See, now he's beginning to realize God is in control. God does have mercy, and he does care about me. And this is where we need to get when we have problems. And this could be, if it's a very big problem, this could take you a long time to get to this position, I think. If it's a relatively small thing, you know, that happens to you that day, maybe you can move through this very quickly and get to the point where you say, you know, this is actually something that is God has allowed, and he's actually allowed it for a reason, and this is actually good for me. Verses 31 through 36, this is where Jeremiah goes next. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So God doesn't do it for just to enjoy it or because he doesn't care. He actually has a reason for allowing us to go through things. He doesn't crush people under his feet, or in verse 35, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, or to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. So God is not doing this because he doesn't care or because he's angry or mean. He's doing this because he knows that it will change us and make us into the person that we should be. Okay, now I think Jeremiah realizes the big picture. He's able to do this now. He wasn't able to at first. He was struggling with the fact that, wow, I'm going through something that's really terrible. God's allowed this to happen to me. You know, he had to move through that point. Now he's gotten to the point he's saying, there's a reason for this, and I am going to turn to God and allow him to use that reason however he wants to do that. So he goes on in verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Wherefore doth the living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sin. So why do we complain about difficult things? Because really we kind of deserve it for the things that we do in life. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. So Jeremiah is saying, I am going to continue to pray to God. I'm going to continue to turn to him. I don't understand what's going on, but I know he's a good God and that he will help me. And now he's going to pray as much as he possibly can. And what do you think happened after that? And Jeremiah actually tells us what happens here in Lamentations 3. He has felt separated from God. He felt like God didn't hear him. But now he's changed his attitude, and he's turning to God, and God listens and hears. And if we go on in verse 55, we'll see that God actually does turn to him and hears his prayer. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. For anybody that's been suffering, they know what that expression would mean. Feeling like you're in a low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my case, my cause. So Jeremiah was heard by God. And for those of you that know the story of Jeremiah, we just got through reading it in our readings, he actually ended up in a lot better place than the other people in Israel. God actually did take care of him. The king was very good to him. So God did hear his cry, and God did help him. And he will do the same for us. I think when you're in this position, as you're starting to move from feeling that God doesn't care, God's not listening, to where God is taking care of you, it's very important to think of him hearing you as you talk. Actually having a conversation with him. Maybe even think of him holding you and listening to the things that you say to him. Because that is really the situation that we're in, that God is really does care about us and all the different troubles that we go through. But what we have to do is we have to turn to him and we have to allow him to have control in our lives. And often that's where the breakdown occurs, is that we don't really want to turn our lives over to him. And then that's exactly what Jeremiah does. He says, God, I'm going to turn everything over to you. And as we finish up here in Lamentations 3, he says, O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. He's talking about his enemies who tried to kill him, who put him into prison. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. the lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the works of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart. Thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. So the chapter starts out kind of strange. We might have a little difficulty at the beginning of the chapter understanding his attitude. And we might have problems here at the end as well. What we have to understand is Jeremiah didn't say, give me strength, God, so I can go out and kill my enemies. What he said was, God, you take care of them. I'm turning it all over to you. And I know you're righteous and you will do what's right. So he says to God, it's all in your hands. I'm turning my whole life over to you. I know that you're in control. Again, that is what we need to do whenever we have any problems in our life. Now, as I finish up this morning, I'd like you to think about how Jesus was actually like this as well. We're going to kind of look at his crucifixion very quickly here and how he went through these same stages when he was being crucified. First of all, I think we have to think about how much he suffered at the end of his life. Do you remember when he was coming into Jerusalem and he looked out over the city and he wept? And we're not going to look that up right now, but it's in Luke 19. We're actually told that Jesus looked at the city and thought, you know, how sad it is that you're not willing to do what God wants. And he wept over that, just as Jeremiah had sorrow for the people. He knew what was happening to them and why it happened. And of course, we know that we're told in Hebrews 5:7 that Jesus with strong crying and tears. Let's take a look at that. I think that's worth looking at. Let's look at Hebrews 5, verse 7, how Jesus felt when he was dying. Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, sounds very much like Jeremiah, actually, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus suffered. He suffered a lot. It wasn't a mechanical thing that he went through when he died on the cross. It was very painful. And if anyone has looked at what it means to die that way, you know that it's probably the worst way that a person could die. So he went through a lot of agony, and it was very difficult for him. But he knew God was in control, and that's why he said, not my will, but yours be done. His will was not to go through that, but he knew what God's will was for him. Now, he said that Jeremiah felt separated from God, and I'm going to look at a verse that I think shows that Jesus actually felt some of that. And I know not everybody agrees with this interpretation, but I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And that's the one where Jesus says, when he quotes Psalm 22, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, some people think that means that that was a feeling he had when the Holy Spirit was taken from him when he was on the cross. Some people feel that he was simply repeating Psalm 22 to show them that he was the Son of God. And maybe both of those are correct. But I think if he's repeating Psalm 22, that's because that's how he really felt. You know, that was written down ahead of time what he was going to feel when he was on the cross. And I think there was a certain way in which he felt that he was alone there, that God was allowing him to die a very painful and agonizing death. And he said, why have you forsaken me? Not in a sinful way that, you know, that God didn't know what he was doing, but why do I have to go through this? This is so agonizing, so painful. And I think it's important for us to realize just how tough that was for him to do, that he felt very much the pain and agony that he went through on the cross. But he trusted God's mercy. You know how we know that? By what he said to the thief. Remember the thief? And we always focus on the thief in this when he said, thou shalt be with me in paradise. We have to realize he knew he was going to be there as well when he said that. So he knew that while he had to suffer and go through this, that eventually it was going to be for his good. And he looked beyond that. We know in Hebrews 12, 2, it says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So again, he was able to look at the value that was in the crucifixion, what he was doing for the world, as well as this was why he was brought into existence, to die on the cross. And God heard what he said. We don't often think about that, but not only did Jesus get immortal life from this, but we know he died very quickly. So God actually shorten the agony. There are actually people that would go several days sometimes on the cross and suffer for a long time, but Jesus died very quickly because God allowed that to happen. He wanted his son not to have to suffer. And then finally at the end he said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." So he totally turned it all over to God, just as we saw Jeremiah did, and just as we need to do. So then when we are facing problems, we need to do what Jeremiah did and what Jesus did. First of all, we have to realize that it is something difficult. It's hard for us. We're human. God doesn't expect us to not be human. He knows that suffering and sorrow are very difficult to deal with. Once we realize that, we have to realize God is completely in control, and we have to turn it over to God and continue to pray to him, continue to let him know how we feel. And then we have to realize that our best interests are what he has in mind. He cares about us, and he loves us, and that what we're going through will, in the end, be the best for us. If we do that, then we will be dealing with suffering in the way that Jeremiah did and the way that Jesus did.